Recording of that.
Okay, are you ready yet?
I don't think I am.
You? Okay, yeah, we're ready. Let's go. Okay,
let's go. All right, press it.
I did already.
Okay, good.
We already started.
I know.
Okay, we'll get started.
Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the podcast that explores the ins and outs and the world of comic collectibles. Not just comic collectibles, Chris, collectibles in general, right?
Yes.
Because you and I, if anything, we've broadened now our scope.
We have. Oh, we have.
Oh. We're talking. We're dealing now in comics, pogs.
So not toys, not cards,
beanie babies.
But pogs is the first thing that comes to your mind.
That's the first thing that popped into my
head. That's scary. Okay.
Is pogs good now?
I don't think. Well, were pogs ever good?
Like, I don't know.
Actually, good.
I don't know. But for me to know about them, they must have been something.
That's true, because you know, we all know how much you know about nothing.
Nothing.
So
how about the one where you put the candy in? What were those things?
Pez dispensers. Well, yeah, the people still collect that.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, they still make them like by the crap load, too, right?
So I had a Daffy Duck once.
Did you know?
Yeah.
Nice.
And what do you put, like Tums in there or something? I don't know what kind of stuff.
The only people that are putting Tums in, people who are listening to this show.
Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, honey!
Hey, how come...
Get the Pepto-Bismol ready. Chris and Walter are about to start.
How come my proper 12 is just pouring out of here? I can't quite feel
it. You know what
open.
They won't need to listen to the show? Metamucil.
I think we're onto something there, Walt.
I think we are.
Pez dispensers that dispense little bits of alcohol at a time. Just in the little caplets.
No, you do it. You do a combo. It dispenses alcohol and also wisdom.
Oh, right. Wow. Yeah, I think that's usually the after. That's the after effect.
Yeah. All right, Chris. Let's. You know what I wanted to talk about today? It's something that I think will affect a bunch of our listeners.
Okay.
Whether they like it or not, whether they will realize it or not,
yeah.
we're about to tell them that this is their life.
Wasn't that a show? This is your life.
Is that where they dated each other, where they picked the girl or the guy?
No, I think that was the dating game.
That was the dating game.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
What's This Is Your Life?
Isn't that the one where they would bring somebody on and like then, like I don't know, they bring you on and then they bring people back from your past. Like, hey, here's Gloria from, you know, that date you went on in 1978.
I remember Gloria.
You know, that kind of stuff.
God
or here's here's Mrs. Pennywhistle, your sixth grade teacher.
I had such a crush on her, Chris. Good Lord. So what we want to talk about, staying on target, is the reluctant investor. So, postulate or introduce throw out on the table?
I like postulate. That's good.
Okay. Is that anybody that's been collecting comics for decades,
yep.
There's a lot of us that have been, that identify ourselves as collectors.
Right.
Then hate CGC, but they don't CGC their stuff. They like having their runs. They like having their, my Kirby Sinnott run. I love that. I love reading. You know, all those guys and girls, they forever have treated their collections as collections.
Right.
And because, you know, in 1995, their collection cumulatively may be worth $10,000.
Maybe
and
five,
in 2010, it may have been worth
$20,000. Oh, I see.
Maybe
saying,
even
yeah.
25.
Yeah.
Right? But unfortunately for them now, or fortunately,
yeah.
those books might be worth $400,000.
You never know, yeah.
So now you kind of have to look at them differently, even though you want to be a purist and not look at them differently.
Right.
You want to take the high ground and say, oh, I don't care what they're worth.
I'm never selling them. Well,
it's not that much of a concern if you're talking about an average of $1 each for your 20,000 comics or
right.
$2 each for your 5,000 comics.
Right.
But when you're talking about $100 each average for your 5,000 comics.
Yeah.
And you're talking $500,000 in value sitting in your basement.
Right.
You have to assess them differently.
Is that what that is? If you have 5,000 comics and they're $100 each, that's $500,000.
Five.
Yeah, that's crazy.
$100, 1,000.
Yeah, you're right. Right? Yeah, I never thought of that.
Yeah, there you go. That's why I'm here for. Yeah, well, that's why I get the big bucks.
I thought it was only because you brought the proper 12.
I did bring the proper 12.
It's very good, by the way.
Oh, by the way, what's the show
run by? Well, it's being run by Proper 12.
It's run by Proper 12.
Yeah, yeah, Proper 12.
And that's that that fine spirit from, is it Ireland?
Ireland.
Ireland, yes. And celebrating the month-long St. Patrick's celebration.
Well, we figured we had to do something. Right.
For, and this is actually the St. Patty show.
It is the St. Patty show. That's right.
Because this goes, this airs on the 17th.
That's right. And so, and this is why we this is why we're drinking it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I thought we were drinking it because we like drinking.
Oh, and no, come on now. Well, we're far more refined than that.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yes, we are. We're drinking it also because we couldn't afford the proper 13th.
Hard to get. Very hard to get.
It is hard to get. Chris is slamming the door right now, so
I'm not slamming. I'm just shutting the door.
Shutting the door?
Look at that. You didn't even hear it.
Like it. So, the show's run by Proper 12, fine Irish whiskey, and it's going to help us discuss... Now...
The reluctant investor.
The reluctant investor. So, Chris, you once... You have a good collection right now.
I do.
Do you find yourself in that spot? I know you sold off a lot of stuff.
Yes, at one point I had a lot more than I do now.
Right.
And I had a lot better stuff than I do now. However, right. That investment allowed me, that selling off of that particular, that collection, allowed me to invest in housing, which now I wouldn't be where I am now without it. So I don't regret it.
Of course not.
It would have been nice to have those still, but you know, that's the way it works out. I still have about, I don't know, 5,000 or so comics, and I still collect, I still invest, I still...
But would it be a safe thing to say that those 5,000 are worth triple what they were 5 years ago?
Sure, easily.
Right.
Easily.
Yeah.
Now, I like every collector, because I read as well as collect, like all of those, like myself, I have lots that are worthless. You know,
right?
Okay, $2. So sure. You know,
worth what somebody's willing to pay to read them.
Right.
Right.
But I have lots that are worth more than that. So I couldn't tell you what my collection is worth now. I have honestly have no idea.
Now you probably can identify individual books that you know have run up in price.
Sure.
Now, do you find yourself looking at them in a different way right now?
Yes and no. For example, years ago I bought a Witch's Tales 25.
Right.
Love the cover.
Yeah.
You know, great old Golden Age horror comic.
For anybody that doesn't remember that cover, you can Google it, but it's where some maniac's got a severed head and he's tied it into a bell, so the head is being used as the bell dong.
Exactly, right. Yeah, as the gong.
Just
nasty. Yeah. It's and he's all happy. Like, it's very sinister. He's all happy about it.
Yeah, he's like just a psycho, right? Yeah.
So, I mean, I think I may have paid, I don't know, $300 for it.
Yeah.
Maybe not even that much.
Uh-huh.
Now, I probably bought it 10 years ago, and 5 years ago, it was probably worth $1,000.
Right.
But now, it's probably worth $3,000.
Probably, yeah.
So, you know, do I want to sell that? And maybe, you know, I mean, I love it, but but then you start thinking, well, maybe I can take that $3,000 or whatever I'm going to get out of it, and maybe I'll buy something that, you know, is a Marvel title that maybe that I've always wanted, and maybe it'll get even, like, that's more of an investment.
So now you're looking at that as an investment that can potentially provide with another investment.
Right. But one of the things I don't know what to do with yet is the end game. I don't know what the end game is going to be because...
Right. Well, usually collectors don't. Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, heaven forbid anything happened to me. I don't know what would happen to the collection.
Don't worry, I told Ange that I would take care of your collection. I'd give her fair value.
I'm sure you would. Yeah, I'm sure you would.
But I know what you mean. It's those books now that become uncomfortable to own in a way because I won't say uncomfortable to own, but yeah, uncomfortable to own because maybe in the old days the way you stored them, now you're going, oh my goodness, you know, I have a Fantastic Four number 14 that, you know, was a nice mid-grade copy that was always worth hundreds of dollars, but now it might be worth $6,000.
Sure,
you know? Now I have to look at it in a different way.
Well, sure, you have to.
Do I have to take it now out of the run?
Right.
You know, and do I have to now put it, you know, I have a, how many guys our age, almost everybody had a giant size X-Men 1.
Mm-hmm.
That 20 years ago, you're picking up for $200 or $400.
Right.
Or, you have a nice copy now. That thing's worth $10,000.
That's crazy.
That's not... That, you can't look at that anymore as just being in the bin with the other ones.
No, not even a little.
Now you got to start thinking, okay, do I have to grade this?
Well...
Do I have to keep this in a different spot? Does it have to go into a safety deposit box?
Yep.
Now, it's throwing off your just casual collecting.
Well, yeah, and it's true because, you know what, it's... On a much lesser extent, you know, I remember when I was getting ready to sell my comics. Now, this is a few years ago, but when I was getting ready to sell them, you know, I remember finding my Amazing Spider-Man 300, not in a bag, not in a board, just in a box with all the other comics. Now, it was still minty mint because I didn't touch it, but but again, there's a book that all of a sudden you're like, well, this is going to get sold off, but I should probably... make sure it doesn't get wrecked.
Right. Yeah. I gotta, you know, because sometimes, you know, when you're leafing through, you get that storage damage.
Yeah.
Storage damage on a Spidey 302, if it goes from a 9.6 to a 9.4, a raw copy, you may have lost $5 in value.
Right.
But if your 300 gets a little ding on the bottom corner from storage damage, you know, that went from, you know, $2,500 to $1,500.
Right.
You've lost $1,000.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, you know, these things now are concerning.
Sure.
These things are things that you didn't even want to think about. I'll give you another example. I remember guys, you know, 20 years ago, I got a beat up AF-15. I just want a copy.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I don't want to pay $10,000 for a nice one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, now your beat up one's worth $10,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You know, they paid $800 for theirs back then.
I think you almost have to start looking at these books differently now. I think you have to. I mean, it's now looking at cash, right?
Right.
You're looking at it at $5 or $1,000 or whatever the book is.
Right.
Right. I think you have to look at all these books differently based on the value. And I mean, look, I'm not going to start saying if you're smart or anything like that, but I think it's wise to look after them.
Right.
You know, to maybe remove them from the collection. I mean, most of us guys were already looking at after our collections fairly well.
Uh-huh.
And I don't mean like, you know, that we're going to bag and board every book, you know, every 3 years, and we're going to grade the ones that we need to. I just mean they're in general, we're well cared for.
Right.
Right? They're not being touched a whole lot. They may be on display, but...
Because the problem is, Chris... You can't move that around. Scott's going to yell at you. You've been scraping.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I'm just watching out for your Scott health.
Yeah.
Because the way you and I and everybody does is, you know, when we have our comics that we like and we read and we kind of have a connection to, we can have them in. We can have them in milk crates.
Sure.
We can have them in old tomato boxes.
Yeah.
And people do, and
yeah,
people
yeah,
did,
yeah,
and I know
yeah.
people that still do.
Sure.
And now it's like, okay, perhaps that's not. We had them in the garage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perhaps now, all these things have to be reassessed for those old time collectors that still have their comics, that still view their comics in that same way.
Right.
Still view their they're all in the corner over there in the basement.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I'm trying to tell you, well, maybe you should kind of go assess and, you know, making sure that, you know, it's not, you know, because some boxes are half empty and they're kind of bent over.
Oh, that's the worst.
You know, and you're getting spine damage out of them. And all these little things. And I'm just wondering how many old-timers are not old-timers, but people with collections that have been... collecting for decades.
Even 10 years, because really, in the last 2 or 3 years, prices have skyrocketed.
Right, yeah.
Right? So even the last... If you started collecting even in 2010, and maybe you paid a bundle, what you thought was a bundle, for some books, now it's triple bundle.
Well, there's two runs, basically. There was that run... kind of three. The first run kind of came about when CGC came around, and then they realized, you know, in 02, 03, 04, that, okay, high-grade ones, you know, get exponentially more.
Yeah.
And then that whole 2010, 11, 12 period where the Marvel movies were helping.
Right.
You know, as Black Widow was introduced and, you know, Tales of Suspense 52. And then this last year and a half or so, you know, during the pandemic, post-pandemic, where things have just seemed to even accelerated even more. There's been three nice jumps within a 20-year span. But you could be a 38-year-old guy
who
was collecting as a teenager. That's young, 38.
My goodness.
And you could have... Your collection could have realized that kind of runaway appreciation.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely. So. If you had books back
right.
then. But,
right.
I mean, let's not forget that even 10 years ago, you had to spend a lot of money for the good books.
Right.
Right? So if
I'm talking about the guys that had the collections in the 90s.
Right, okay. You know? Well, that's different, yeah.
Right. So, and that... I guess that's... I'm just wondering where their heads are at and where do they realize that those old dusty bags in the corner of the...
Or do they care even?
I guess that's the point of this show is I'm kind of telling them they should start caring.
Right.
You know? They right. should have the assessment. They should go in. They should look at what they got because it's not, you know...
But what if you're a guy that's been collecting for 40 years and, you know, you bought all that stuff when it came out on the newsstand.
Sure.
So, you it's hard to, I mean, okay.
Nothing into them. Yeah.
So you figure, well, I got nothing into them. I don't care if I enjoyed them, I read them. What do I care if I don't get anything out of them?
Ooh. Unless you're a hermit.
Well, some listeners may be.
Hey, you know what we got to share? We got to share that. I think I want to share this, so you right. go down the same road with me. But people like their stuff so much, but they have like a certain limit to the value of the stuff,
right?
And then and then they do themselves a disservice. And I want to share the story where me and you tried to buy that Elfgren piece.
We should have, anyways.
Okay, let's do that. Come on.
All right. Okay. All right.
So I'll set it up, and then you do the phone.
Are we going to use the language?
Yeah, we got to use the language. You said I'll show. You can just so the guy was. It's in context because this is what came out.
I don't know if I want to use the language.
Okay, we'll leave it up to you when you get to that part. Okay.
Okay. All right. All right.
You can use descriptive language.
Okay,
rather
that's
than
fair. I won't use the same language.
But this gentleman used the language.
Yeah.
So, Chris and I wanted to get a Gil Elfgren painting. We wanted to split it.
Right. So, hold on. So, in case you're not sure who Gil Elfgren is, he is a famous pinup artist.
From the 40s
and
50s.
And he would paint those kinds of pinups where, I don't know, sometimes there might... Let's say there's a girl shooting archery, but then there would be like an arrow holding up her skirt just slightly in the target.
Right, or she's climbing a fence and her dress gets caught, and then you see her pantyhose and the garter belt.
Right, right.
Like that. All harmless stuff.
Yeah.
Like kind of harmless stuff that would be on a garage calendar
right.
in the 40s. When you weren't allowed to put anything lewd up.
Right.
Or a girl, a beautiful young lady riding a motorbike, and her dress gets caught in the chain, and it gets ripped off, and you see her garter and that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So these are, but Gil Elfgren is a god, right? He's
right.
a king of pinups. And there was a magazine called, was it called Collector? Illustration Magazine.
And
on the back cover, there was an ad for...
No, it was a full page... Well, on the back cover, but there was also on the full page, two-page center spread.
Right.
There was a guy that...
He's passed away now,
and he was selling all these Gil Elfgren
right.
paintings, as well as other...
Vargas's.
Illustrations and things like that. So,
Norins. A lot of stuff. So we go, hey, let's give this guy a call. And you got to remember, Illustration Magazine is like a high-end magazine. It's like... You know, artsy fartsy, and it's like high gloss and hoity toity.
And these some of these paintings are selling for
right.
You know, something. I mean,
back then they were selling for
$10,000-$20,000,
yeah.
And somebody had other things that were selling for $50,000-$100,000.
Right. And so this guy's ad is high class ad, and the guy's name I think it was
Charles Martinique. Yeah.
Very French sounding, English and French at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. So you're thinking aristocrat right away.
Yeah.
So. I go, Chris, call him. So I'll pass over to Chris.
So I call, I dial the number, And so Walt and I are thinking, well, maybe we could split on an Elvgrid. So I call him, and so, you know, I make the call, and I get an answering service.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's, hi, you've reached the estate of blah, 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 or whatever, the museum. Actually, I think it was a museum at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just hang up.
Right.
So then Walt says, what was that? I said, well, it was just an answering service. Well, you should have left a message. Oh, okay, okay. I'll call back.
Right.
So I call again, and all of a sudden, so I'm about to leave a message, you know, when I hear the answering machine pick up, but then all of a sudden, a guy picks up and says, oh, hi, who's this? Who's this? I said, oh, hi, it's my name's Chris, and I'm calling on, I'm interested in getting some, maybe a piece of Elvgren artwork. Oh, well, what are you looking for? I don't know. Ah, jeez. You know. Well, you know. You gotta give me a hand here. And I'm talking to this guy. It's almost like I think I'm dealing with a janitor
or a sailor,
or yeah, something like that. And I'm like, well, who am I speaking to? Ah, this is Charles Martinique.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So this is the guy.
This is the guy. Yeah.
So
it wasn't a, I say hello.
No,
right?
No. Yeah. And so I said, well, I'm interested in getting an Elvgren. You know, how much are they? Ah, God, you know, anywhere from $10,000 for, you know, a pretty simple one to, you know, if she's sliding down the banister and her thing's touching the wood, then, you know, it could be $100,000. You're going to give me a chance on what's going on here. And so, you know, I'm trying to not laugh myself into an oblivion.
Right.
You know, it's just...
I think he said, like, $20,000 for the thing. It was, like, double.
I think so. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
yeah. It was $20,000. So... It was,
and there was a lot of swearing involved.
Yeah,
and I'm
tons.
Just,
and it's like, Chris got off the phone and he goes, that was not what I expected, right?
Well, you expected like a museum
curator.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah. I guess the point of that story was this person had a finite view of what his stuff was worth. And unfortunately, when he passed away, the museum or whatever, I guess he owned most of them, everything went to Heritage.
Right.
And the stuff that he was selling for $10,000 to me and you, potentially, they were getting $150,000, $350,000, right?
Yeah.
So it's like he wasn't taking it seriously enough.
No.
To him, they were just stuff, I don't
know. Stuff that he loved. And...
Right, stuff that he loved and stuff that... I don't know, like from what I read a little bit about him, he was like a pack rat and he had an apartment in Manhattan that was all dusty and just, you know, these things were more important to him than you know, a nice place to live.
Sure.
And but the same thing, I guess I'm drawing a parallel with comic guys. Is
absolutely.
You know, I know some guys, you know, it's my collection, it's this and that, I think they're worth this much. You know, it could be worth a lot more.
Yep.
You need, if not for you, for the people that you know and love, you need to be able to assess these things now.
Absolutely.
Properly.
Yep.
To get a good handle on value, because it's become a serious business now.
Oh, absolutely. And
is my kind of crux of the whole show.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's, as you said, even from 2 or 3 years ago, prices have just skyrocketed, you know. Stuff that, I mean, toys that I've seen sell in the past for $1,000 is now $3,000 or $4,000. And I mean in the past, like 2 or 3 years ago.
I know.
You know, it's not making those incremental gains like the stock market or anything, where it's like, you know, 9% a year or 20%
sure.
a year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like 300%.
300% a year.
Right. Yeah.
So listen, if you need help, find a trusted source. If you can't find one of those, you can always reach Chris and myself, and we'll...
Absolutely, we'll help you out.
Help you out.
Yeah.
All
we need is a bottle of Proper 12.
Proper 12.
Right there with
and
you.
And we'll do the appraisal for you. But hey, best of luck with your stuff. Again, I guess my moral of today is treat your collection like a portfolio, because that's what it's turned into.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. All right, and please go and enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, see you next week.